Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Rex Heerman, the suspected Long Beach serial killer, was in court on Wednesday. Before the hearing, prosecutors held a press conference where they revealed new DNA evidence that matches Heerman. The DA also announced the next hearing to be held on November 15th. Let's bring you that press conference right now.
We finally see this. Yeah, nice. Good afternoon or good morning. Thanks for everyone for coming out to Suffolk County. As you see, it was a typical court conference with a case like this. It's not exciting, but it's necessary. The parties, defense and prosecution, we worked out some logistics with regards to the protective order, with regard to discovery. We provided a number of items of discovery. Not only prior to the court appearance, but at the court appearance. We'll continue to provide that discovery on a rolling basis, and the next court date is November 15th.
Can you explain what Mr. Santo Martino said in court, that apparently there's a match between the DNA on the pizza crust and the buccal swab you took for Mr. Heerman, and explain the significance of that?
Sure. So that was provided today, that the data and the reports pertaining to that aspect. So as everyone, I think, knows, that there was an abandonment sample obtained from the defendant via the pizza box, and the pizza that was in the pizza box, a DNA profile was obtained from that pizza. Subsequent to the defendant's arrest, a buccal swab was taken of the defendant, a DNA profile was obtained from that buccal swab, and the buccal swab of the defendant matches the DNA profile from that of the abandonment sample in the pizza box.
When you just hear about the swab to the hair, when are we going to hear about the swab to the hair that was found on Ms. Waterman? That was the other thing that you guys said you needed the swab for, was to run that analysis.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be the same thing, because the pizza box and the buccal swab are the same. It's the same profile.
Can you go over exactly what was handed over today?
It's over 5,000 pages of material. So primarily grand jury material, grand jury reports, grand jury exhibits, that sort of stuff.
And the exhibits included video walkthroughs, footage from the car, the memo books. Can you go through that, the storage unit?
So, it's just a voluminous amount of stuff, and we're providing it on a rolling basis. So, it's a continuing process.
Is this the first time you've spoken for today?
Probably, yeah.
Attorney, just to clarify, you have the buccal swab, it matches the pizza crust, it doesn't match the hair that's on Megan Waterman's body from the buccal swab.
So that analysis doesn't change anything that's in our bail letter.
But can you confirm that in the past it matched?
Well, you're using the term match. It's consistent with.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's a ratio, a probability that's provided. So that would just confirm all of that, which is contained in the bail letter.
Does the swab increase the ratio, increase the probability?
No.
What is the protective order pertaining to?
So in all cases, really, you have a protective order with a number of conditions in the protective order. Really, the most important one is that the material that is provided is not provided to the media. So there are terms and conditions in the in all protective orders, and that you go through a series of just working with the court, working with defense counsel to hammer out language that works for everybody. So sometimes you have to make slight modifications, and that's what we did in this case. And in this specific case, there was a watermark that the defense found unwieldy, so they asked, and we complied and removed the watermark.
The mention of the amount of time he's got to or the amount of time he's able to review these this discovery, 2 to 3 hours. Based on that, as long as, you know, that being how long he can sit and do this on a daily basis, how long do you think it's going to take him to get through all the discoveries?
Well, said he says it's up to 4 hours. And
he can sit for 2 or 3.
And so, again, that's something that, you know, the defense does, but, you know, it's given to the material is given to his counsel, and then, you know, his counsel chooses how they review it, who they review it with, and you know, the methodology behind that. So we'll just leave that to them.
Are you feeling stronger about the case now that the DNA has come back? I mean, I think this is sort of is this not a monumental development, or did you know this was?
Not at all.
Okay.
We were very confident that this was going to be the case. You know, when you look at a case, there are things that we as a prosecution team expect. And, you know, the way the case is unfolding, you know, is consistent with our expectations. So that's good.
You mentioned the watermark that you put on some of the evidence. Were you worried that there would be leaks? There haven't been any, apparently, to the media. Like, were you worried about that? Is that what?
Well, I mean, I think you're always worried about leaks. You're always worrying about maintaining grand jury secrecy, grand jury privilege, privacy rights of individuals. So what you do is you do a balancing act, you know, between everyone, between the prosecution team, between the defense team, between the court and their team. So this is you know, something that you worry about in general, but I had no specific worries, you know, in this instance.
Do you have any sense when this trial has gone?
There's a lot of material that we have to provide to the defense. We appreciate the cooperation of not only the defense but the court, because, you know, you can't just, you know, you have to provide the material in such a way that's coherent so they can follow it along. It helps them, but it also helps us, so we are able to memorialize and show that every single piece of paper and document in this case has been provided to the defense, because that's certainly important not only for the trial but for an appellate record as well. So it's not something, you know, you don't take a 13-year investigation and turn it over in a day or two. So we certainly appreciate the cooperation that we're receiving from you know, the court and the defense.
Are you any closer to additional charges against him?
We're still investigating. Our investigation is continuing, and when we're prepared to announce charges, if that day comes, we'll do it in court. I'm sorry? Just basically what you see here, you know, unless there are new issues that arise or new, you know, new facts that come to bear. But, you know, this is the court case, you know, especially a complex case like this. It's just a lot of, you know, clerical type of discovery that needs to be provided to the parties, to the court.
His guns were transferred to Nassau. Can you explain?
Well, that's a subject of a separate motion, and I believe that's being heard October 2nd. So we'll have more clarity on that. We're seeking to have those guns returned to Nassau.
Why is it necessary to have a conference in private instead of in front of a public court?
You know, I think it's just you know, it's up to the counsel. Really, and the court, primarily, most of all. And basically, what happens is there's discussions, and those discussions are then, you know, placed on the record.
Where does the investigation move on to the other unsolved murders on Ocean Parkway, and whether genetic material from Buhrmann?
Well, we've been, you know, we said that initially our investigation centered around the Gilgo 4, that, you know, we were prepared to bring charges with regard to three out of the four Gilgo 4 victims. We're working on the fourth Gilgo victim, and now we've expanded our investigation to include other bodies that were recovered in that area, and we'll speak about that when and if we're prepared to bring charges.
Is there DNA evidence on any of those other?
There's always potentially DNA evidence in any case. You just have to see whether or not you can take DNA or genetic material and compare it to a subject. So
you're investigating. So you're investigating all the bodies on Gilgo as being killed by the same person?
We're, We're investigating other instances where individuals were left on Gilgo.
In terms of the fourth victim that has not been charged yet, what is the reason behind the delay in time or the time lapse between the three and this last one?
So as we said right from the very beginning, when we started the grand jury investigation, there was a tension between the acquisition of evidence as well as maintaining grand jury secrecy as well as a public safety. At a certain time in January, that balance shifted. We moved on to the three cases that we had completed, and we're continuing with the investigation of the Maureen Brainerd Barnes murder, and that investigation is continuing. So it takes time. I know that when you watch a show like CSI, everything gets done in an hour, but that's just not realistic.
For those who don't have expertise, can you just explain the significance of the match between his DNA that you took after he was arrested and the pizza crust?
So, there was the surveillance team had observed the pizza box and were confident that was his DNA, that the DNA profile would be consistent with the defendant because he left that material inside the box. And so the buccal swab just erases all doubt.
Working with them in South Carolina, there was a missing woman that
Yeah, so we work with all of our partners on all of our cases, and we're ready, willing, and able to share whatever information we have. Obviously, we've amassed a lot of information with regard to this particular subject, and we're sharing that with anyone who wants with regard to their investigations. But just as I wouldn't want those authorities to be commenting on my investigation, I'm not going to comment on theirs. I'll leave that to them.
And any gauge on how long this discovery process is going to last? Are we still looking at months ahead with how much data there is?
I mean, it's certainly going to be a lengthy process, and we'll continue to work with the court and the defense to streamline it as much as possible, but it will take months, that's for sure. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that right there was the district attorney over in Suffolk County speaking after that hearing did come to an end. We are now hearing live, raw, and unfiltered from the attorney for Rex Huerman. So let's pop that up and listen in live, raw, and unfiltered.
Is pretty significant. Pretty significant. So that's what they have. So that's all I can tell you. And I have not, and that's assuming a lot of different things, right? Because DNA can be transferred. DNA can be transferred from me going up to the cameraman and shaking his hand, and I would say he would get my hair, but I have no hair, but he would get my DNA, and then he goes to a second person, and now it's transferred. So all things, I'm just putting that out there, but going back to inclusive versus exclusive, it's still a significant amount of people that could be the source of this hair. But anyway, any other questions?
Okay, so Brad, you said something about the protective order to the judge. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, so initially there was a protective order that we agreed to, which had a couple of things in it that were troubling to us. Number one is there's a watermark across every single piece of evidence, every photograph. It's troubling because we want to obviously print out some of these items and utilize it to our benefit at trial. In addition, the photographs that they provided were in a PDF fashion. So PDF is much less clear than a digital photograph. So we wanted everything digital because when you enlarge things digitally, you can see much more detail. That's going to be important for us. So those are two of the things that we're now getting. I don't know if there's any other significant portions of the protective order that were amended, but those were two significant parts. Yes, ma'am.
Talk about your client was asked if he was taking advantage of his right to review material. Is he? What is he doing? Is he reviewing everything that you get?
He is. He is. So what happened was we went to the court. We went to Justice Mazie and we asked for a court order. We wanted a court order because we wanted to enable him the opportunity to review all the discovery while he's in custody. Justice Mazie signed that, and the sheriff is now abiding by that order, and he's permitting my client to review the discovery as it trickles in. We're providing it to him, and he's reviewing the discovery.
And how is his mood and demeanor now?
Well, he's somebody who has from the beginning has said he's not guilty. So he's now incarcerated. He's a fellow who was working, has never been arrested, has a wife and children, is a productive member of society, and obviously the district attorney, the government is making these allegations and they're horrific. But if he's not guilty of this, well, now he has to sit in custody, be away from his family, be away from his wife and kids, not work, not produce for his family and support them, and sit in a jail cell until this case can come to fruition. So he's doing the best he can. The sheriff made a comment about how he's not making any emotions, right? And I know the press ran with that and said, oh, look, he's not showing emotions. Well, I have to tell you that when I first started on this case, I made it a point to tell him, just get through this, Rex. Get through this. Get to the point where we can go to trial. And don't show emotion. Don't let anything upset you. Just be stoic. And that's what he's done. And then we saw a comment, unfortunately, and I have a lot of respect for Sheriff Toulon, but the sheriff made a comment about he's not showing emotion, and from that I can tell you there's something wrong with him. Well, that's just not the case. That's just sensationalism, and that's just things that, unfortunately, poison the jury pool. That's not true. So the answer to your question is he's doing the best he can at this point.
Has he been in touch with Asa or children?
They do communicate, yes.
Have they physically?
Yes, sir.
What's your experience working with the data? Was it the table of contents? Was it you working with before?
In terms, which data are you referring to?
This is 8 terabytes to start with that.
The 8 terabytes. So initially we got 4 external hard drives. 99% of those 4 external hard drives was what's called poll cameras. What the DA's office did is they set, and the police department, I should say, they had poll cameras focused on my client's house from 1.5 years prior up until the date of the arrest. What that shows, and this defies common sense that he is actually the murderer, what the poll cameras show is a guy who gets up in the morning, he goes to work, he comes home, he spends time with his wife and children, you see him chopping wood, you see him hanging out on his porch. That's what you see. And that is 99% of what we got from the beginning.
Yeah, so you said you've got very little actual evidence. I mean, can you expand on that?
So we just talked about those 4 external hard drives. I have ME reports, which are from the scene itself. They don't attribute in any way my client to the commission of these acts. The poll cameras basically defy their suggestion that this is this monster of a person. When he was arrested, there was a video in the actual police vehicle. My client, unless he's a tremendous actor, he was completely shocked, had no idea why he was being taken into custody, and there's this interaction. So they don't tell you, the government doesn't tell you about these things, but these are things we're going to bring out during the course of the trial.
You said 99% of what you've reviewed is poll cameras?
What I had said was in the first 4 external hard drives, I'm going to say that there's about 99% of that was the poll camera video. Correct.
So you've been given very little indication of what their actual case is at this point?
I think that you folks have received what I've received, which is the bail letter, which says there's a pizza crust, and then they talked about burner phones, and they talked about pinging in New York City. That's what I've seen in terms of the bail letter. Pinging in New York City, I mean, you folks know how the ping works, and there's probably hundreds of thousands of people that are pinging off that cell site at any given time. That's all I've seen.
How is Rex doing right now?
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Given that and the fact that he's got 2 to 3 hours at a clip sitting there going through this evidence with you, how come we're being told by the DA that it's going to be months and months and months before we get to trial? Does he want to be in jail for months and months?
You're asking me. Well, I haven't gotten discovery. I'm still waiting for. So let's talk about things like this investigation was going on for 10 to 12 years. There were numerous other suspects, and you folks have reported this. There's numerous other suspects that they looked at. I want to see those records. I want to see those notes. I want to see why the police accused other people, were focusing on other people, and what it is about those individuals that caused them to discount those other individuals. I haven't seen any of that. I also want to see, obviously, the crime lab. I want to see the testing that was done. I want to make sure it was done in the right manner and fashion. None of that I have seen. Going back to your question, does Rex want to stay in custody? Of course not. But he can't bail out, and we are not going to go to trial until we get all the discovery, and the district attorney under the law is required to provide us with all of the discovery.
Do you expect him to be charged in a fourth murder?
You'd have to ask Mr. Tierney about that. I have no idea. I have no idea.
And Rex is spending 2 to 3 hours a day going through this discovery himself. Is that something he wanted to, something that he asked you specifically if he could, you know, be privy to the information?
Sure. I mean, he's the defendant. He's charged. He's an intelligent man. He's never been arrested. He wants to know what is it that they have that they're saying I'm involved in this. So as a defense attorney, we obviously want to share that with our client. If he was out of custody, he'd probably be coming to my office and we'd review that together. Because he's in custody, we made copies, and we're affording him the opportunity so that he can, at his leisure, review these items and all the discovery and assist in his defense, because that's what it's all about.
You said most of the evidence was from the cameras. What about other evidence you've seen?
Well, those four external hard drives. So, again, about 99% is these are these poll cameras. Then you have approximately 3,000 pages deal with the ME's report when they found the bodies on each of the three occasions. We had videos, again, of him being arrested and what they call the takedown and him in the police vehicle. I think that's the extent of what I recall in the first set, in the first four external hard drives. The fifth external hard drive is voluminous. It's these phone records and computer searches, and we started to look at those, but it really doesn't make sense until we have the question and answers from the grand jury, because those are all grand jury exhibits. It's like having a car without gas. You're not going to get anywhere. So now today, the district attorney indicated that we have gotten the grand jury testimony. So now we can put two and two together and we can review this and make sense of what they have and go from there.
That was a press conference held today on the steps of the courthouse where Rex Heerman made an appearance today. We'll keep you up to date. The next hearing set for November 15th. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any breaking updates on this case or any of the cases we're following for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.